Hello and welcome to Awakenings. Welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. Welcome everyone in the chat room and welcome all that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions, and welcome to all of you that are listening later via the archives. It's great to be here. It's a wonderful Friday. Wherever you are, tune into the wonder of who you are and what you're about. And Awakenings is about chronicling the stages and progressions of awakening. That's what we're about here, and connecting. I am Michelle Mache, your host, and as I also like to say, co-pilot on this journey. It's great to walk these steps with you, travel these steps with you, and great to share also with you as well. So Awakenings is a live internet program. It's really about the interaction here, whether you're in the chat room or, as a couple of wonderful listeners renamed it, the Sacred Space of Empowerment, because though there's a lot of fun in the chat room, a lot of, you know, laughter and giggling and all kinds of topics all over, the people in the chat room really hold the space of empowerment and are always open to sharing their insight or their understanding or putting links in, you know, for people with questions and such. So it's really a wonderful virtual space of heart connection there. So, and it's not just me saying this. I get this feedback all the time. If you would like to listen as a guest, that's fine. All you need to do is just listen, click to listen. Or you can also call 347-539-5122 and listen by phone. If you are listening as a guest and you get a little itchy to respond and you're like, oh, I want to share my thoughts or ask a question, or you want to reach out to someone in the chat room, all you need to do is sign up to Blog Talk Radio. And the way that you do that is just your name and email address. And actually, at the bottom of the chat, and I'm going into this because I had a couple emails from some of our listeners saying that they couldn't find where it is. So if you are in the chat room, I'm going to look at it now. If you're in the chat room, and it should be at the towards the bottom of the page, we'll say, I believe, sign in or register. Woo! Turn the sound off. I've got a couple computers here going. So, yes, there we go. So it says, note, to comment in the chat, you must be logged in. Please register or log in. So there's a wonderful little dialog box there. I didn't quite know where it was because I haven't really used it. I was just signed in automatically. So for those listeners that emailed me with that question, there it is. You can either just listen as a guest or register, or, of course, you can log in as well. And sometimes it's just easier to listen as a guest. I do that sometimes when I'm listening to programs. But, you know, obviously if you're called to respond or ask questions in the chat room, you do need to sign in or register if you are a new user, new to Blog Talk Radio, new to Awakenings. And if you are new, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. Also, that's the email. Also, if you have any guest ideas or topic suggestions or feedback, on the Awakenings team and Self and Light team, we love feedback. We love all the questions, all the comments. You know, I read all the emails. I'll be honest, it's easier to reach me through the awakenings@selfandlight.com than the Facebook, but we do look through the Facebook, and my assistants forward the emails that are sent to me or about Awakenings or just any questions. So they will get forward to me as well. And speaking of Facebook, also, we have the Awakenings Radio page, and I'm just loving the comments. There's been some great comments there and also some great links. So be great. One way of supports the program in a sense, creating community, but it also is great, I feel, for people to connect, to have another way of connecting. I mean, you have so many ways of connecting now, phone, you know, text, fax, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you know, friend feed, other social networking sites. There's a new one, Hoozer, that I'm a part of that'll be coming out, Hoosier.com. We're in the alpha stage with that. But a lot of different ways of connecting in and sharing, and I just think there can never be too much, especially if you can figure out a way to manage it. Because you just never know. Connections to me are really like jewels. They're like gems or treasures. And like a jewel or a gem, you want to polish it. You want to look at it. You want to connect with it. You want to respect it. You want to honor it. You want to be in appreciation and gratitude for it. So I definitely feel that for the listener participants. And I had a guest a few months ago ask, oh, it's interesting you call the guests participants or the listeners participants. And I said, yeah, they are participating, even if just energetically, but you're co-creating the program with me, all the programs, even the ideas. And then when you're asking questions in the chat or giving your own feedback, you're creating another resonant field there within the sacred space of empowerment. So I'm very aware, you know, as a healer and spiritualist and metaphysician, of the subtle energy that which goes through the ethers or ethernet is energetic in nature and has a quality of energy. So I so appreciate and the energy, the co-creation. And I feel that on some level, on a general populist level, that at some point will be more well known and more well appreciated. Because a lot of times people think it's something that somebody's doing overtly or that we can see, you know, something that's tangible or that can be seen, that's valid. But very often, and more often than not, it's the unseen. It's the energetic. It's the mental, emotional. It's the spiritual. So, yeah, it's the tangible, the earth, is great. That which is grounded or that which is made manifest, which just means to see, is wonderful. But also it starts before the physical manifestation. And again, emailing awakenings@selfinlight.com. And I just had a little question here. Let's see, Kenna, so many questions I'll have to email you about. It's like, great, email me. And also website is, I'll put that in, selfinlight.com. And thank you so much, Tammy, for putting the Awakenings Radio page, Facebook page, on the link in the chat room. Also, that bit of music we heard, I just had a little question on that come in. That was Thunderbeat, who, part of the Awakenings family, she's been on quite a bit. And that was inspired by the pyramids in Egypt, and so that also available. She's been on a few times, so there are archives of her. Thunderbeat is the musician healer name, and she works also with the chakras and has some music actually for that, or musical processes maybe is one thing to way to look at it or call it. So lots of questions coming in, and I love it. I love. We've been doing this fun thing on Awakening. So those of you that are guests or maybe new, we are asking everyone how and where you listen to Awakenings. I got an email earlier today that someone's listening while they're hiking. Okay, so I love it. So if you would email me how you listen to Awakenings, where and how you listen to Awakening. Some people are emailing questions. Some people are emailing how it's impacted them. Some people are, Emmy in the chat is putting, I listen while I'm doing laundry. I love it. I love it. That's great. And we will be getting to questions or comments. I see some people on the switchboard, so be patient. We will be getting to that. So, how do you listen to Awakenings? Where and how do you listen to Awakenings? We had one the other day in the bath. I love it, listening in the bath. A couple people on the treadmill. And the email for that, and you can also put it on the Facebook page, Awakenings Radio on Facebook, or email awakenings@selfandlight.com. So here we are coming in to talk about this converging flow and how we're fitting into these individual and collective shifts. So it's wonderful to get people's feedback and also how people, not just how Awakenings is affecting you, but how are your Awakenings happening for you? So I love hearing all about that. I'm collecting the emails and the texts that I'm getting, and some things coming through Twitter and direct message. So what I'm going to do is normally monthly, whether it's once a month or twice a month, whenever I do readings, whenever I do the channeled readings and other topics, I'm going to really dive into your questions even more. So, but I do want to touch on some of them before our guest comes on, who I'm really excited to have on. Someone is asking, someone was asking for the effects of alcohol on the aura. Well, I would say anything that's done too much, you know, of course, everything that's organic, and alcohol is organic, you could say, you know, sugar is organic, you know, it's all of nature. But anything that you do to extreme is not going to be good on the aura. It can actually cause it to weaken, just like the organs. So, you know, the aura in a sense is an outpicturing of the organs, and the organs are connected to the aura. I mean, it's all one. It's just different forms of the same thing. What can happen though with certain things, like if you think what revitalizes you, what causes you to feel more vital, what causes you to feel refreshed, renewed, those things tend to build up the body. Those things tend to build up the mind. Those things tend to build up the spirit. So we all know when you certain things that you drink, refreshing water, maybe orange juice. But then maybe some people that can't have too much orange juice because of the sugar, they may need to dilute it. But pretty much those things that you feel refreshed by, renewed by, you feel revitalized, or in your mind you feel, wow, that feels good, that feels healthy, that feels light, that feels good for me, those things are going to be good for all parts of you. What tends to happen, because the aura is part of the etheric, it ties into the astral and astral plane, that part of us, the subtle energy, loves things like meditation, chanting, music, fun, joy, things that bring you joy, sunshine, laying in the sun, that revitalizes the not just the body, mind, but also the aura. What can sometimes happen is when we're doing things that weaken us mentally, emotionally, it weakens the aura. So there can be weak spots, sometimes tears, sometimes a thinning of the aura. So it's best, I think, to think of this not as these parts of us. They're parts of us, but they're also us. They correspond. Just like hormonal levels correspond to emotions. A lot of times people can be overly emotional or going through emotional trauma. That's going to affect your hormones. Okay, but sometimes people are going through hormonal changes or hormonal deficiencies, and that affects the emotions and can also affect the mental state. Things like in create an environment of depression. But sometimes people can be physically ill or physically wounded, and that affects the chemical balance of the body, which the chemical balance includes the hormones. And so that's going to affect, again, the emotion. So sometimes also not drinking enough water, because hormones in nature correspond to the emotions, and the emotional aspect of us, the emotional body, corresponds to the blood of our body and the water of our body, the water content. The chemical aspect of us is the mental in nature. Same with the nervous system. So a lot of times when you feel what we call enervated, you don't feel that you have enough maybe support in your life, things that are nervous system things that are off, that's going to affect you also mentally. So we all know mental exhaustion. We know emotional exhaustion, and you know physical exhaustion. So there's different bodies affect the chemical component or hormonal component of the body mind. A lot of times people with very rigid ideas, that's going to affect the joints, particularly knees. People want to, you know, knee issues, you want to look at support. Are you getting support? Are you comfortable in your direction? And also sometimes ego issues, overly holding on. So anyway, we may dive into that at some point, but I wanted to touch on that. This is for Matthew. I wanted to touch on this. And I'm definitely going to be diving into more of your questions and comments and what you have been going through on the path yourself, what you're sharing with me. And so keep them coming. We'll definitely touch on those. So as you're listening, you know, I will be answering your questions. And maybe sometimes our guests will, too. We'll bring them into the guest. The other thing is some people have asked, don't use my name. And so I won't. I definitely won't use last names. I may sometimes use first names unless someone said, definitely don't use my name. I won't, because I respect your privacy. And I do. I just respect and love. It's given me great joy that so many people are sharing their thoughts, their feelings, their story, their understanding, and what they're going through on the path. And so I definitely will be putting a lot more attention to sharing these questions and comments with everyone. Because, you know, with somebody, one person's going through something, 10 are, 100 are, 1,000 are, 1,000,000 are. So, you know, no thought, no question, no concern is ever slight or little. They all are valid and needed and necessary and also helpful. Also helpful, because if you're going through something, and you could know many more are as well. So, again, if you're calling in and you'd like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or a comment, if you just press 1 on the keypad, that lets me know that you have a question or a comment. And again, letting me know how and where you listen to Awakenings, and that's emailing me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. Wonderful. And we're going to have a giveaway on that. So we're going to be doing it for a few more weeks. We have with us someone I'm really excited to have on because is a healer and metaphysician through the use of astrology and also some sacred jewelry and empowerment jewelry, I would say. But this individual as an astrologer has a wonderful way of tapping into the archetypal energy and reading people this way and seeing the chart as almost like a living entity that this person is able to just really align with the person to see really what's going on with them and why they're here and why they're going through what they're going through. And we have with us today Gail Powell, astrologer, and her address, her website address is divinemystic.com. And in her words, everyone must pay homage to the gods in their charts in order to be happy in life and understand what they are asking of you. And the myths and archetypes involved in this is very helpful information to have one at one's fingertips. So I really want to give a warm welcome to the program to Gail Powell. Hello, Gail.
Hi, Michelle.
Oh, it's great to have you on
today.
Yes,
oh,
I'm so happy that you are as well, and just tickled because fellow metaphysician that you are and spiritualist, and you do bring that through in your readings, and you do have a unique, in-depth way of reading. So I'm so want to share how you view astrology with everyone today, because I think it's going to be very eye-opening for people. Cause it's going to fill in some gaps for people, let's say.
I hope so. Yes, I really want to help people fill in some gaps with astrology. It would be a wonderful.
And now I want to ask you, you say everyone must pay homage to the gods in their charts in order to be happy in life and understanding what they are asking of you and the myths and archetypes involved in this very helpful information to have at one's fingertips. Explain that to me, the homage of the gods in the charts. I love that. When I read that, I went, ooh. And, of course, I'm a big person. I'm big into archetypal energy and myths. Use that a lot in my work. But what do you mean by pay homage to the gods in the charts?
Well, first of all, I would like to kind of explain, you know, the archetypes and what that means, and myths and what they're about, because myths are really to establish models of behavior. And your archetypes are very similar. They are to kind of show us the original model of a person or an ideal example or a prototype upon which all others are copied or patterned. So if you can understand, and psychologically, archetype is a model of a person, a personality, or behavior, and when a certain person is, when an individual is born, as we all are individuals, and each unique in our own charts, it's like there's a photograph taken of the heavens at the instant that you are born, and that is your unique path and road, you know, roadmap that you came in with that you will follow. Now, how you choose to follow it is your own choice. Nothing is ever set in stone on ever with, you know, us as living entities and energy every day of our lives. So paying homage to the archetypes and the photograph that you were born with, if you have a son in Aries, you need to follow in order to be really feeling like you are in tune with who you are and the energy that you came in with, as this sun in Aries mirrors to you certain things and archetypes and ways of being and modeling yourself that are going to make you feel more fulfilled than other ways. So in other words, a sun in Aries is going to have to need to have an archetype of a warrior and a pioneer. If they come in and they have to be subdued and hidden away in a closet somewhere, that's not going to work for them.
Okay, we have a question already. What is archetypal energy? What does that mean?
Well, an archetype, it really is like, you know, Joseph Campbell was big on all of this, the myths and the archetypes, but it really just is the original model of a person. So in other words, if you say the archetype word, an archetype is a warrior, okay, that immediately gives you an idea of a model of a type of a person and what energy they're going to carry with them. If you say a priest or a nurse, these are all archetypal energies, a healer, a psychic, you see what I'm saying? A prime minister, a father, a mother, these are all archetypal energies. And when you work with these, even a man with a son in Cancer is going to have the archetype of the mother to him. He's going to need to have some type of either nurturing that he gives or he receives. These are going to be important energies to him.
And why? One reason, and I'm so excited, we talked briefly earlier, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited to have you on the program to dive into this, because our archetypal energy makes up who we are. It's how we express and respond. And I like what you were saying, Gail. Like, it's also something we tap into. Like, sometimes we need that hero energy, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But then, of course, we don't want to be stuck. Like, some people are always the hero and always trying to save the day. That is becomes a stuck state or stuck pattern. But to be able to tap into, like you said, when do I need my healer energy, or tune into the psychic, or the creator energy, or the lover, being the lover, being the creator or the builder, all these different modes of energy or ways of being that we can, like you said earlier, Gail, model ourselves after. It's a function, I guess, a function of how we're using our energy.
It is absolutely the myths are a function that we need to model ourselves after their behavior. So in other words, you know, if you understand the myths, which is still something, because I learned this late in life, and I am still absorbing the myths and how they work, and they're very, very interesting when you tie them into the archetypes and to individuals, and understanding that a father is afraid to have children, so he eats them, you know, kind of thing. And then you have to really see, okay, how does that model its behavior? And what is that telling us? You know, your fears, you try to swallow them. Well, sooner or later, they're going to come back to haunt you. And then your son does escape and get out and comes back and, you know, castrate you. I mean,
right.
It's just so interesting when you start to understand. And then, you know, from the castration thrown into the sea, and then Aphrodite's born out of the sea foam. And it's just, it's amazing. And then this is a woman who's self-absorbed with her, totally with her own self and her own pleasures. And then these all equate back to the planets. It's so interesting.
Well, in a way, too, the archetypal energy, right, is modeling the energy, the planetary energy. It's all the same. I remember one of my, part of my training as a transpersonal therapist, we studied myths and fairy tales, that fairy tales were, or are, how they originated, were an easy way to help children manage the energy of life and what's happening to them, and a way to integrate these energies themselves. So, of course, they'd see it as something either, you know, funny or not real, or you know, like the wolf and the grandma. They're different parts of the psyche. So as they're reading these things, some of the function of the fairy tale would help them manage their fears or put their fears into those stories, but they're psychologically or in their inner psyche is processing this information, right? Because the subconscious mind works off of archetype. It works off of archetypal energy, right? Symbols and imagery and all of that reflects back to the archetypal energy. So I found that kind of fascinating, that that's really how these came. In the olden days, it was the elders that created a lot of these stories, and then they just got passed on. We kind of changed them over the years, but it was exactly what you're saying, Gail, a way to understand this energy, integrate it, manage this energy for their little minds, you know?
It's absolutely brilliant. It absolutely is brilliant. And when you think about that, we haven't had the written word forever, and that things had to be passed down and stories had to be told and explained, and the elders and the wisdom, the wise people, knew how to pass these down, and the people that had ears and eyes to hear would hear and see.
Exactly. Now, one thing is, so the archetypes and obviously the symbolism that goes with that, does that relate with the chart?
Absolutely. And that's the problem with a lot of clients that come to me. They just don't know why they're not happy. And as human beings, unfortunately, we are taught to blame everybody else but ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really not about the word blame, because I don't really like that word, but it just is, we are taught things are good and bad. Things are great or evil, you know what I'm trying to say, or good or evil, and or we're happy or we're sad. It's just a world of duality. But in reality, it really is all about us really learning, and nobody tells us this, what is really going to truly make you feel fulfilled and feel like you came here to this planet to do what you came here to do, and not get caught up in family patternings and other people's expectations of you, because every man before you has been a doctor, now you have to be a doctor. And you really need to be a musician, and that's looked upon within that family as not something that's tolerable and not something that's acceptable and something you play with, but you don't make a living at it. What does a person do with that if they have no clue that this is the only way they're going to really be fulfilled and happy? How do they bridge that?
Right. So you're saying that that would be reflected in the chart, someone's chart, their
absolutely,
predominant...
Yes, because, yes. We really, I like to work with what we call the triad, and it really kind of comes out of evolutionary astrology studies. But when you work with the sun, the archetypes and the myths for the sun and the moon and your ascendant, whatever your rising sign is, which is the exact time that you were born, there's a sign that goes with that. That's called the triad. And when you pay homage to that triad and you fulfill whatever the needs are of that sun and that moon and that rising within the chart, you are going to be a happy camper. And even if you really can't do it, let's just say if you are a full-on surgeon in the world and the whole world depends on you and you really don't feel like you can stop, but you really have this musician heart, how do you do that? So you've got to fulfill that somewhere within your life and have a balance. But until you do that and you allow yourself the room for that, other than if you're programmed your whole life, you have to work, and you can't take time to do your art or play. Our arts are what heal us.
Art is, I love that. Art is what heals us.
And that's when they take our arts out of our schools. My God, that's how our children, our wounded children, heal themselves. They have no creative expression with that. They're stuck in a more rigid pattern than ever. There's no self-creative way of expressing.
Well, you know, and it said, you bring a good point, Gail, because it said that what renews us, one of the things that renews us, and at the top of the hour we touched on this a little bit because I answered a question from a listener, is that spiritual or psychic energy in different forms. So what I'm hearing you saying, art, our arts, whatever those arts is, or those artistic expressions, it is a way of renewing, because that's when you're doing your art or any art form, you're tapping into that spiritual energy, that psychic energy.
Yes, the creative energy, whatever it may be for whoever, you lose yourself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can connect with spirit through that if you just open yourself to doing it. I mean, there's always, you know, there's always pitfalls in everything, but pure, when you are purely in the creative moment of what you are supposed to be doing and you are in the flow, there is like a connection that you lose all track of time and space.
Mm-hmm. And now we have a question.
Whole.
Yeah, we have a question in the chat about no artistic ability, which I think every, whether it was a poem or way you place something on a table, some, for some people it's how they dress, certain colors. Can you touch on that a little bit? Like,
yes, everybody has artistic ability in their chart somewhere. It's in there. You just have to know where to look for it. You have to know that. Not every artistic ability for everybody manifests the same. Somebody's artistic ability could become in how they just put their clothes together, how they dress their hair, you know, how they speak, how articulate are they? Are they humorous? I mean, there are so many different ways of expressing oneself
mm-hmm.
in creative ways. It doesn't have to be with a paintbrush.
Mm. So maybe it's finding that, or maybe seeing the creative. I think even sometimes being in nature is a form of art or self-expression, seeing that, the creativeness of nature, and even admiring that, or being around art, you know, museums, galleries, you know, that kind of thing.
Connecting with nature is absolutely being creative in all different ways, because from that, your mind just soaks into being one again with, you know, the universe, and there's many different ways to do this. I mean, just scientists who are, you know, creating something new, tapping into, you know, the universal inventiveness and uniqueness and original, you know, ideas and thoughts that they allow to come through just by doing that. That there's so many different ways of being creative.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of it, people expanding their idea of what creativity is.
Absolutely. That's part of this bigger picture right now.
So, in essence, you're saying, so the plan, and then go back to the triad, so you're saying if you are fulfilling the needs of your sun, moon, and ascendant in your chart, then in essence you would be happy.
And even going into psychological astrology as well, those are really, really important things to really take care of. Now, every part of your chart is important, but those are the three main things, because you have to understand that the sun is the male energy, the moon is the female energy. So there's your yin and your yang, you know, and your ascendant is really the personality and the face that you show to the world. That's who you appear to be, and the sun and the moon are hidden behind that. But you have to understand that the sun is something that we're working into that we don't know how to do already. So getting back to the sun in Aries, you come in, this is a brand new energy for you that you're working with in this lifetime. Whatever your sign of your moon is, you already know. You've done that. That's familiar to you. You're comfortable. There is no light there. You have to completely go on instincts and, you know, what it is that moon energy is bringing to you, this feminine, soft energy, and we have to become comfortable with both of them within ourselves before we can come out as a whole and have a healthy relationship with somebody else.
Mm. So the moon, is, in essence, is our emotional nature. But you say, but it's what we're used to, what we've been doing all along.
Right.
Is that,
it's what we're comfortable with. We already know how to do it.
And the sun, is that something? It's the subconscious. So is the sun something we're growing into or going into?
Yes, we do not know how to do our suns. We are learning how to do them. And it's so fascinating when you think about it.
Now, so we're comfortable with the moon. It's our emotions, it's the past, it's the subconscious. But we still keep doing our moon, right? So you're saying it's doing okay.
Yeah, but we need to keep doing our moon, but these need to become in balance.
Ah,
some people are caught
okay.
up their feelings and they're only doing their male energy and getting themselves out there in the world and they have no feelings. And then other people do nothing but feel and they can't function out in the world.
Mm.
There's all these things going on and in between.
Mm. Okay. So,
and then behind this ascendant.
What's
the ascendant? To the world. It's really the face we hide behind and that we present to the world. So, for example, let's just say you have Cancer rising, and you're this soft, nurturing, mothering type of individual, whether male or female. You're still going to have that type of energy to you, and that's what people are going to feel from you. But behind this soft mothering nurturing could be a sun in Aries that's a warrior and a pioneer, and if you step over certain boundaries, it's going to come racing out at you, but you just don't see it in the beginning.
Mm. So that
we
ascendant
kind of fake people out.
Is that what? Okay, so the ascendant, it's how people see us.
Yeah.
But is it also how we see ourselves?
It's the face that we put on for people to see.
Mm-hmm. But is it actually also a part of us, or is it something we need to integrate? What is the ascendant's role, I guess?
It absolutely has to be integrated because it really is the major starting point of that chart, and all of the angles on the chart are very, very important points within the chart. They're not planets, but they mm-hmm. are mathematical points within the chart that are highly active and activated by transits of planets crossing over them. And the ascendant and how, you know, what the face that we put onto the world is a very, very important part of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. And you said something early off air, and I want to touch on it, that it's not that the planets are doing something to us. Could you go into that a little bit, Gail?
Right. You know, for years we've always like, oh, Mars is doing this to me and or this planet's doing that or this is, you know, all of these things, we kind of blame it. But it's not really about the planets doing anything to us. They are just their symbolisms mirroring to us exactly what is going on in our lives as individuals and as collective people.
Mm. Mm. So what's happening to us, they're mirroring what's happening anyway, is what you're hearing.
Right. So whether you know what's going on or not, they're mirroring to you every day what spiritual growth is happening, where you're contracting and being limited, where you're expanding and growing. And if you understand these energies and work with them, my God, you really can be in the flow. And it makes it wonderful. Some people mm-hmm. do this intuitive when they're connected, you know, to the whole, but a lot of people just struggle against this because they stay patterned with what they were given and don't know any different.
Mm. So is there awareness? How would someone be able then to, know what's going on and then know what they need to integrate?
Yes, that's why we do astrology readings because... It is quite a science. It really is. You can learn basic astrology really fairly easily. It's really like all shorthand. But it is, mm-hmm. it's simple. At the same time, it's very complicated because one thing leads to another thing that then has to be integrated with something else. And let's just mm-hmm. say if in a chart, for example, you have your sun and your Mercury were born together both in Aries at, you know, the same degree. Now all of a sudden your sun, where your heart is now connected to Mercury, the planet of communication. And now all of a sudden Gemini energy is brought into this sun energy, and it's not just pure sun energy anymore. So you really have to understand how all these energies are, what all the shorthand means, the keywords. And once you start to work with those, it comes pretty quick of understanding for a basic person to be able to work and work their own chart. To do readings, that's another whole deal, but to get a basic understanding. But starting with a reading is a good thing, or even with just a basic astrology printout, a cookbook thing, is going to give you some kind of idea of what you're dealing with.
I like this idea of this triad that you talked about, that sun, moon, ascendant. I think if people can get that or get assistance.
Yeah, that's so huge.
That can help to set a really good foundation for them.
It's like, yes, all of a sudden, I've been being forced to be the warrior over here and the guy that goes out and finds companies and takes them over, and I really want to be a nurse healer. Dang. You know, and that's what happens. Our families put these things on us, or we have this ambition and this drive, and we think that if we do this particular job, we're going to make this particular amount of money, and we're going to be really happy. And then we do this particular job, and we make this amount of money, and we are not happy. Now what?
Yeah, that's why I think it's a really good idea for people to have their charts done a few times. A few different people. I've had my chart done from a lot of different people. I think it's good to... because it is such a temple, you know. Well, it's a temple of you. You know, it's a sacred.
It's a sacred photograph of you, absolutely.
Yeah,
when you honor it and respect it, oh my God, it just loves you back. When you fight against it, it just is just one knockdown drag out after another. It just has to be, because you came here to learn certain lessons. This earth is all about school. It is not our home, and we are not supposed to be really, really happy and comfortable here. Yes, we are supposed to experience joy always, but we don't get caught up in the roles and the play that we are in.
Interesting. Now, we got a couple of calls. I want to see 516-451, you're on Awakenings. 561-451, you're on the program. Did you have a question or comment? Okay. Well, I have the if you press number one on the keypad, then I'm thinking that you have a question. But if not, so one more time, 561-451. Okay, I don't hear anything. Did you hear anything, Gail?
No.
Okay. So anyone else, if you do have a question or a comment, all you the numbers 347-539-5122, and just press number one on the keypad. Sometimes people are both in the chat and on phone, or they have a question and they leave. They're doing their laundry or doing something else. Now, also I wanted to dive in. The changes, I know we have Uranus coming in, going into Aries. So I want to spend a little bit of time on the transpersonal planets and how they mirror to us individually and collectively what spiritual growth is happening to us. And also get your feedback on the scale, because I remember years ago it was thought that the transpersonal planets weren't they were always affecting the light workers, the metaphysicians, but not as much the general populace, and apparently there's been a huge shift where they are really, because of the awakening within others or within the resonant field, that's being reflected on a planetary level, you know, an individual level and a collective level. What are your thoughts of that?
Wow. All I can say is, if somebody doesn't think the transpersonal planets are affecting us, holy moly, that's all I can say. Blow me down, because what is going on right now is just so powerful for everyone on a collective and an individual level. And as these particular planets hit points that are sensitive in our chart and particular degrees that we have, things, chain reactions are set off like you just could never even imagine, for spiritual growth, if you so choose. And if you so choose not to, many people are being taken down to their knees. Hello? Oh, jeez. Michelle? Okay,
Hello?
I'll call back. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought
I happened to mute.
Oh, anyway, I don't know where I lost you. I don't know if they heard me or they heard you, but I couldn't hear you.
Well, do you feel that because of because this awakening is happening within, we are being affected by the transpersonal planet.
It's truly amazing how it's all set up. When you understand that they're all moving around the sun's orbit at different times, and like for Jupiter, it takes 12 years to go through all the signs, and then you've got Saturn after that that's taking 28 to 29 and a half years to go through all the signs, and Uranus is 84 years. You see, they're all set up to build this up for us through our charts as they go around our charts to build for us to really learn and grow to come and do here what we came here to do. And each outer planet takes longer. I mean, Neptune is 165 years and Pluto takes 248. So you can see how some of them have a faster effect on us and some have a slower effect, but it's just perfectly set up.
Mm-hmm. So some are more longer lasting, some are more intense.
Right.
It's like as well.
Exactly. And when you understand the energies of these transpersonal planets and what they're doing, it's really, really remarkable what's going on in our universe right now. Mm. It's just really remarkable. And to answer your questions about, you know, going with Uranus into Aries and kind of building on what I've been saying already. Hold on just one second. Excuse me, I'm going to take a sip here. When you understand the energy of Uranus, and let's just talk about that for a second and what its job is and what kind of homage, you know, we have to pay to this planet. Wow, Uranian energy is all about being the genius and the revolutionary and the truth-sayer. It's like the scientist and the exile. And at the same time, it's all about development of the individuality of the individual and the development of the capacity to question authority. So you're the outlaw and the rebel and the rule-breaker with Uranus. And it's the awakener. Mm-hmm. It awakens you to a new way of being. All of a sudden, you are this, you know, doctor over here that's making all this money and you're unhappy and you're like so unhappy, and then all of a sudden Uranus transit comes along and awakens you to, my God, I don't have to do this anymore. I can just say I have had enough of this and I want to do something else. But you have to bridge that gap. I mean, there's planets that help you bridge. But Uranus can make you feel like I have to do this today. And it questions authority. It questions everything that you ever thought you knew. And it goes beyond culture and social norms and programming, and it's completely outside the box. And it's like, I'm not going to take it anymore, and it's completely unpredictable. So you're forced to develop and define yourself as an individual.
Mm.
And when you understand just the orbit itself of Uranus, the planet, the polar regions receive more sun than the equator regions. But the equator regions are hotter. They have no idea how this is happening. And the magnetic field is odd. It's not centered in the middle of the planet, and it's tilted at almost 60 degrees with respect to the axis of its rotation. It just doesn't do things normal. So then you add it to the energy of Uranus within Aries. Now you have to go back to Aries energy and that sign, and it teaches courage. And it's about you're connecting the Uranian energy of mental electrical energy to the energy of nervous fire energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to take inventive ideas and put them into constructive channels, but there's a lot that has to go on before you get to that part. You can go through a lot of unharmonious, rebellious, tactless, lacking in self-control. It could even get fanatical. The thing that comes to mind almost is the French Revolution.
That's the last time that
Yes, because Uranus was discovered in 1781, and that French Revolution started in 1789 and went for 10 years. And they violently rejected all traditions.
Mm. So we're coming up to that. Now, we do have a caller on this one, so let's see.
Okay.
Hello, 305-749, you're on the Awakenings.
Hello, I wanted to know what's going on like around me and with my spiritual path.
Okay, well, the astrology, do you know your chart?
Yes, I'm Aquarius.
Okay, anything else? Well, Gail, you want to jump
in on
that?
I really am not prepared to talk too much about individual charts today. I'm really just more prepared to talk about the different energies of, you know, what is going on. But there is a lot going on with Aquarius energies because you have Pisces and Aquarius and Pisces. And so there's a lot, you know, that's happening just even with that Aquarian energy, and there's just a lot going on for that type of sun right now.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, let's talk on a general level. So we'll try. Which caller? What's your first name?
It's Chandrika.
Oh, Chandrika. Okay, so we're going to talk a little, jump in a little bit on a general level as it affects everyone. So thanks for the input on that. As we are in this Aquarian age,
right?
How is that affecting, obviously it's going to affect Aquarians individually, perhaps a bit more, but how is that affecting all of us? What is this Aquarian age, I guess, archetypally? What is that?
Well, everybody has to realize you have Aquarius somewhere in your chart, so everybody is being affected by this. Just some of them, have more Aquarius and have stronger Aquarian than other charts. So that's something for people to keep in mind because they think, well, I'm not Aquarius sun, I'm not Aquarius moon or rising. But there's always these energies somewhere within the chart. So what is happening with Aquarius right now, with the ruler of Aquarius being in the sign Pisces, you know, the planets are like the actors. And so we have this Aquarian energy, like I just told you, that's the rebel and the outlaw, and it's in the sign is the role they play. So now all of a sudden this rebel and outlaw is in the sign of Pisces, which is all about boundaries go down and everybody merges. And Aquarian energy is all about being an individual and developing your own individuality. And all of a sudden the individual realizes that they're connected to the whole. What a shock. And then the planet that rules, you know, the collective energy of Pisces, is now in the sign of Aquarius. So they're in what we call a mutual reception, and they pay homage to each other, and they bow down to each other as long as this is going on. So now the collective realizes it has to be the individual within the whole in order to be healthy.
And so would you say because of these archetypal energies, is that a main focus right now?
It should be.
Okay.
It absolutely should be, because when you go into the next transpersonal planet, which is Pluto in Capricorn, which now goes back to the planet of Pluto, is the one that transforms and completely regenerates everything in your life. And what's left standing is what's only authentic to you by the time it gets done, with its slow process over whatever it's touching in your chart. And in the chart of a country or the chart of a city, this is not just an individual, this is a collective chart. Charts that we're talking about here and individuals and cells and all of this, you understand. So now all of a sudden you've got the planet that transforms and generates in the sign of Capricorn, which is all about traditions and old ways. Well, that's completely at loggerheads.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to square the planet that's the outlaw rebel, that's going to be the warrior and the pioneer. How do all those work? They do not. And so somehow they're all going to have to become friends, and they're all going to have to make concessions and yield and give and compromise. And that's what's going on in our universe right now in a collective and an individual basis. And if it's touching personal planets and degrees in your chart, it's really being activated for you as an individual as well.
So what do you make this freeing up with this archetypal energy that's working through us as us and is us? freeing up for what? What do you feel the outcome is, or part of the outcome?
Well, if you go back to, let's just take a simple basic thing again, going back to the doctor that really needs to have a that's a musician at heart. You know, those mm-hmm. going back to his archetypes, just starting there simply. My thought just went out of my head. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Asked me, because it'll come right back to me.
Well, it just went out of my head too.
Oh my God, that is so bizarre.
What
is being asked of? Oh, I know what it was. Okay, so the old way of being the doctor now has to integrate a new way of adding this musician into his life. And if you take that into even to a city level of, let's just say, Los Angeles, now the old ways of being, doing business and the unions and everybody locking up everything or however, whatever attributes to the old ways of being that aren't working for us, now we have to have new ways of being. So these are going to be forced on all levels, individual, collective, city levels, you know, world levels. These new ways of being, the old ways that aren't working for us anymore, are now going to go through a transformation and a regeneration process and bringing new ways of being that are going to be more authentically representing who we are as individuals, who we are as a city, who we are as a state and a country and a world.
Mm. So now to go back to something, to segue back, Tammy is asking in the chat, is this what is meant by pay homage to your archetypes?
Yes, because when you yourself are paying homage and doing your part in taking care of you and making you healthy, then you add to a more healthy self that you now live in as a family, and everybody else around you is now affected because you've changed, and the key and the vibration around everybody else is changing, and so you start pulling people up. And then the next thing, your block is being pulled up, and the people that you run in the circles. And that's why right now people that in relationships are changing, because some people are growing, some people are refusing to grow. We have free will in this. We don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's our
mm-hmm.
free choice to either say, I want to get on this bandwagon and this train of change because I know it's going to lead me to freedom, or I just don't want to, and you just have to allow them to do that. And that's why relationships are breaking apart. People are going separate ways. Friendships for long years are not there anymore, because new friends are going to come in when you create a void. New resonating for you if you're growing and people around you aren't. This is all a part of what's going on right now. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing to make a little clarification, I'm going to maybe put in a different way of understanding
Absolutely.
Some of this. Or another way of looking, because Tammy's put learning to understand astrology. Yeah, but part of this is what we're doing anyway naturally. A lot of it is perhaps socialized out of us, but I think a big point is this: the new paradigm is creating and causing everyone to have a different balance of energy. So you have to look in your life right now and say, where is there too much of something and not enough? It can be even that simple. Let's use the mother, a mother that only identifies with being the mother. That's an archetype energy. So archetypes
right.
are roles or modes of expression. We know people that are the caretaker. They're always caretaking, usually over codependent. Those people need to pull out. Sometimes what they need to do, sometimes when there's too much caretaking in one's life, they're over-identified with the caretaker energy or caretaker role or caretaker archetype, whatever term you want to use. A lot of times that person or individual needs to go into the seeker mode. They need to now go into seek and discover new parts of themselves or what they really enjoy or what they really like or, you know, just something new, new ways of being. Because if you're over-identified with the caretaker role, you're over-focused usually on other people. And so you have forgotten, in a sense, right, yourself, you know. So these modes of...
True.
Is it? Yeah.
So true.
So one way to look at these... of modes of being, these archetypal energies, and I think, Gail, you're talking from an astrological point of view. Would you say, let me ask you this, would you say that the archetypal energy is each planet represent archetypal energy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, everything's got it happening. It does, and that's when you understand that the key words, the basics of each of them, and it boils down. So, when you understand all of that, it just makes it so much easier to understand what's being asked to integrate, because we don't really want to throw anything away. We just have to learn a better balance, like what you're saying. And the interesting thing is, when you take it back to astrology, each sign has its opposites within that sign. And you can go from one extreme to the other within a lifetime. Let's say you have an Aries sun, the opposite of that is Libra. At some point in your life, you might be too self-centered, and the next point, you'll be giving too much to somebody, and you have to come back into the middle. You have to learn both sides.
Mm-hmm. So how can one balance these energies, I guess, within themselves?
First of all, I think you really have to become aware of them and the archetypes that you're dealing with, and really find what's ringing true for you and what you've been through, what you've experiencing, where you want to go, you really have to do some self-examination, as always with anything within our process of growth.
Mm. Now, we also have, I want to touch upon, because there seems to be so much metaphysically right now and on a spiritualist level, we're tapping into the spiritualism of the evolution of the soul and the soul alignment, but what's happening, aligning that little self or the ego personality to the soul. There's a major push on a, I guess, want to say cosmological level, psychic level, psyche level, however you want to term it, but for right relationship and right livelihood. And of course, to me, this dovetails to what you were saying, Gail, about Uranus and Aries, and you know, archetypally, this freeing up, getting to, you know, right livelihood, which to me is not just what you do for work or a living, but how you live, where you live, but also right relationship. Can you touch on a bit of, number one, how important that is, but also we have Saturn in Libra now.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
What is that
to bring that up, because I'm
for
looking at that, my notes on that right now. That's very funny. Well, when you stop and think about Saturn, represents the energy of I use, and there's ambition as a key word for Saturn, you know, and Capricorn energy. And now it's in the sign of Libra, which is all about I balance and harmony. Well, those two don't go together. And, you know, Saturn is your authority and the old ways and the traditions, and we need all of those. It's structure, but at the same time, it's unbendable, it's rigid, and it's the male father energy, prime minister archetypes in the hermit. And now all of a sudden, it's in, you know, the sign of the archetypes of the lover and the artist, and, you know, you see what I'm saying? So all of a sudden,
so Libra is a, okay. So you're saying Libra is the archetype of the lovers of Libra with Venusian. So what is it? Luxury, beauty, art.
Pleasure,
relationship.
Saturn is not about pleasure. Saturn's about, you know, wrap your knuckles with the ruler and get to work.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, so about a lot about structure. Now, someone's asking in the Saturn is exalted in Libra.
Yes, Saturn is exalted in Saturn is exalted in Libra, and you know, it's you can get into all these different rulerships and leaderships, and it does come to a point in time where it is in harmony with each other, because if you can be a ruler and authority that can have harmony, you know, and not be so rigid, then it's like, then things are working in balance the way that they should be. You have a leader that wants harmony within the, you know, the company or whatever it may be.
Mm. So that's interesting. So let's look at this. So Saturn in Libra, if it is about that ruler, and by the way, I got that energy. I really, in some ways, really like it, because it does help really focus you and structure. I mean, too much of it, I mean, if you have difficult aspects to it, it can be, you know, more than challenging. That's a PC way of looking at it.
Yeah, it's true, because if you have too much Libra, you can be really lazy, and if you have too much Saturn, you can just not enjoy life. Mm. So you need to, it's, you know, Saturn in Libra is a strong sense of justice and fairness in a disciplined and responsible way, and it's relationship-oriented, which normally Saturn is not relationship-oriented. So it takes these softer, like the softer side, and your values in harmony, and it blends it with a harsh, you know, authority and unyielding or unbendable, because Saturn's like glass. It can shatter if it won't bend. Mm-hmm. So when it's in Libra, it's softer.
Now, one thing I'm wondering, because we're moving, as Earth, we're moving further away from Saturn. We're moving out of the second ring.
Mm-hmm.
This taps in a little bit to astronomy. But the idea is, in some, you know, esoteric principles, that as we're moving further away from Saturn, we're, I think, in the middle or towards the tail end of the second ring, that our time will be different, what we view as structure will be different, or how we're structured. The idea of karma will be no more, because things will be more instantaneous. Also, with this Aquarian energy, will be more detached, and what enacts karma to one is just attachment to the result. It's not necessarily cause and effect. A lot of people kind of have that. So what do you see of that with this position of the Saturn in Libra, and also this idea of, you know, planetarily moving further out of the orb of Saturn? Do you have any thought of that?
You know, that's not something I'm really well versed on as far as the astronomy part of it, but what you're saying to me just so rings true, just, you know, on an intuitive level. And when you think about Saturn's going to go and be in Libra now until October of 2012, that's going to be another whole story when it goes into Scorpio. And it's not going to be a whole lot different from that Pluto in Capricorn energy. They're just flipped now, because now you have the ruler Saturn in the sign of Scorpio, and you have the ruler of Scorpio, Pluto, in the sign of Saturn, Capricorn. And that's
so what is that saying archetypally?
Well, it's going to, the authorities, the actors who are the authorities, are now going to have to take on transformation roles and regenerate themselves. And that's anywhere we are, that in our chart, we're going to have to be looking at our Saturn structure to see what it is that we need to transform and let go of to rebuild our structure so it better suits us.
Mm-hmm.
And this all blends in with what you're saying, because now we're becoming lighter creatures, different creatures, communicating more telepathically. All of this is happening.
Yeah. We're less Earth. And, of course, as we're connecting more with the light body, or living from that dimension of light, which is what Aquarian age is, the age of light or enlightenment, information age,
right?
Information is light, and light is information. So my sense is that those that are identifying more with the light, or connecting more dimensionally with the layer of the light body, perhaps are having less, how do I want to say, earthed experiences, maybe?
They're not being affected by it as much, because they see it for what it is, because they're above it now. They're understanding goes beyond just what's happening to them in the everyday world. They're no longer blaming anybody. They see the cosmic plan for their life.
So are you saying that in a way this restructuring, while it's taking place, is assisting in people getting that cosmic view?
Yes, and part of the transits that are going on right now, if you are open to seeing, you now recognize that you are in a cell within a larger group of cells, and everything that you do affects that larger group of cells and the body that is represented up of all these cells. We are no longer not connected to each other. So we each have to do our part. And as you start to do your part and realize that there is a much bigger picture than what we see here, when you think about the fish in the ocean can only know that they're fish in the ocean. They don't even know we're here until we catch them and pull them out of the ocean. That's where we are, stuck in this planet. If you don't see beyond your eyes and your ears and your five senses, and that's what's happening, the other senses are starting to open for more of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
That the ones that want this energy is so prevalent right now. For if you are able to open to it and get yourself on that train, it's faster and quicker than ever now, the evolution and the enlightenment that you, like you said, more information is coming in and the enlightenment is happening as fast.
Mm-hmm. So really what we're talking about, because Aquarian ruling the group or the masses, well, individual groups and communities and the masses, is getting this awareness more into the masses or mainstream consciousness.
Yes. And when Aquarius goes from Pisces, which has been helping you detach, you know, the ones that are so detached now feel that, okay, we are a part of the bigger whole, but we can't let ourselves get swallowed up within that whole. But we have to recognize that our own individuality is now connected to this whole, and every action that we take affects this whole, and that we are a part of this greater cell, not just our own selves. Fighting against each other, we all have to work together to make a greater whole. These people are going to build a community and attract a like-minded people. They're going to start resonating and drawing new people in. Yes, it hurts when you have to let go of the old, but it just is what's happening right now, and it's all for the good.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you bring up something. We're going to have you back too, Gail. But this is why, and I'm not very popular to say this, but, you know, I really don't care because I believe people need to know the real deal. Please, people, don't get caught up in trying to manifest that or this, you know, over-focus of the law of magnetic attraction. Right now, if you follow the law of resonance, as you said earlier, as above is so below, you've got to look and people have to start seeing where you're naturally resonating at and what's resonating to you, what's being drawn to you. Because if you follow that, you're going to be so okay, so protected. The light, which is information and awareness, is going to, you know, protect you and guide you to where you need to be. And you just said that a lot. So the resonance is going to lead you to the right groups, the right people, the right message for your soul template, for your, as Gail, you said earlier, the chart. What did you call it? The photograph of your...
Yeah, it's the photograph, you know, of you.
A sacred photograph,
It is a sacred photograph of you. I mean, it's a holographic, really photograph of the energy that you brought down and what you planned to do while you were here. And we really can get lost along the way from other people.
That's it. I love what you say with that, the sacred photograph, that your chart is a sacred photograph. I love that.
We are so sacred individuals.
Because the thing is, if people are following what is naturally resonating to them, the people, the situations, and like you said, yes, you might have some people that you're not as close to or hanging out with, or there might be a position change or job change or relationship changes. But if you're following the resonance, that means you're following your signature vibrational frequency. You're following the truth of the expression of who you are, not just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but from on a energetic level, a vibratory level. You're following your right vibration, which leads you on your right path. You automatically then begin magnetizing or drawing in what you need, the people, the situations of what you need and what is reflecting your vibrational frequency, your true vibrational frequency, your signature frequency. And I just find when people start doing that, the doors just open. The synchronistic events happening, the synchronistic timings happen, you know where to go, what to do, whatever. You're just so guided. It's when people, I think you mentioned it earlier, Gail, the resisting that template of the chart, resisting that, you know, or making your creations from the ego mind only, tends to lead people astray.
It's so true, because when you resist what your heart is calling, that, you know, you came here with a calling. And when you resist whatever that calling is and you keep prodding down a road that's not working for you, you're going to get sick. You're going to go through, you know, you're not going to be happy in your life or with the people around you. It's just really interesting. And when you start to tune in to who you really are and what your true nature is and what really makes you happy inside, you start to have freedom. You start to really, truly feel free because you really are fulfilling what you came here to do, and that's what That's really what we are all about on this particular planet. And all of the transpersonal planets are set up in such a way to help us, and they come along, and all of a sudden they give us, Jupiter gives us an expanded view, and then Saturn will contract it back down to where we have a better balance, you know, and then Uranus comes along and awakens, gives us new ideas and new thoughts, and Neptune comes along and dissolves the old that's not working for us, and then Pluto comes along and completely transforms and regenerates anything left over. And then we're left stark naked as Gail Powell, who you are, what you really came here to do, and all the other superficial stuff is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a lean, mean, running machine to take off with light and do what you came here to do. That's what this chart are all about.
And how important do you feel that astrology, because it's one of the old new sciences in a sense, is going to be in the coming years and ages?
I don't think astrology is ever going to go away because it's such an amazingly accurate tool. It's never wrong. It's interpretations that are wrong.
Mm.
And when you deal with the pure archetypes and the myths and the energies, it's so remarkable what they're teaching us and telling us. If you really want to know what's going on in the world, you don't really have to look a whole lot farther. But yet, at the same time, there's more than just astrology. There's never just one way. Because the cool thing about it is there's so many different tools that we have and so many different ways of seeing this. And that astrology is not for everybody. But it is a remarkable tool for those who are drawn to it and use it.
I love it because it never ceases to amaze me how it reflects in a concrete, tangible way, because you look at the chart, you hold it, you know, what is going on energetically, what is going on a cosmological level, what is going on a spiritual level, these metaphysical energies, the shifting that's happening on the etheric plane, how that's playing out, how the soul's purpose, the collective soul's purpose is coming through. It's always reflected in the chart. Now, let me ask you something, Gail. What the idea and aspect of us that is vibration and electrical, where is that relayed in the chart? Where would we look for that in the chart?
You know, that's a really good idea. I'd have to think about that. Okay, so the electrical energy always comes in with the Uranian energy, and it's mental energy. So what exactly did you ask me again? Because that's the first thing that came to my mind.
So it's a Uranian energy. So I'm wondering that Uranian energy, you know, Uranus in Aquarius, Uranus in Pisces, Uranus in Aries, is it a different out-picturing a different experience of ourselves as electrical beings, in a sense, electromagnetic?
Oh, my gosh, you nailed it. That's absolutely what
it is. Is that what it is?
As these change, yes, and as this electrical planet changes signs, we are absolutely vibrating to a completely different role and archetype, wherever it falls in our chart. So all of a sudden, when Uranus goes into Aries, where it's transiting in your particular personal chart, you now all of a sudden have to take on the tone of Aries and become unflinching and explosive and take on courage. And you have to have the life force and will to exist. And you have to become a warrior and a rebel, wherever it is.
Wow. So would people look for where the Aries is in their chart then? Because Uranus is transiting.
Well, yes, you would look where the Aries is in the chart, and then you would know the degree of Aries, I mean Uranus, where it's at right now, and then you would know which house, what is it actually setting off, what situations, what arenas in your life are being set off with this Uranian Aries energy. It's so wonderful, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think of that before, except now in this conversation that we're having, I just thought, wow, because you were saying that the planets in the chart are reflecting the archetypal energy that we are, how we're expressing this energy. So it stands to reason then the electromagnetic aspect of us, or that is us, that outpicturing, is also the magnetic part of this is also represented somehow in the chart, and then also the electrical, and like you said, the mental, that mental energy.
It's so interesting. And then along comes Neptune, that's the gases. It's just so interesting. And so now the gases and everything are changing, you know, as the electrical parts and everything are. It's just, it really is remarkable how this whole, everything is set up. And all the symbolism is there for us to see. And that was one of the things that I wanted to say earlier when you were talking about the archetypes and the energies and the new ways of being, just to keep asking for the signs.
Just asking, wow.
Yeah, just keep asking for the signs. I mean, like the doctor who's stuck being a doctor, but his heart really wants a musician. Ask for the signs to show that that's really where you need to go, and you're going to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to keep coming.
Part of what I'm seeing, okay, so we're looking, obviously, the astrology, and you do personal reading, so you can definitely look at this all personally. But now that we're talking, I'm looking back, each of these, the chart of whatever it's been, a chart of a city, a nation, a state, a country, you know, the world, so to speak, or different parts of the world. So I'm just thinking the chart can show us, in a sense, where we came through the ages, right? Is that also?
Yes.
So if we look hundreds of years ago.
History repeats itself. It's so interesting. Because if you want to just take, you know, Uranus in Aries, the last time it was in Aries was from 1928 to 1934. We were going through the Big Depression or whatever, it was a serious depression or whatever they call it, I don't know.
Right.
But it's just so interesting how when you go back, and when Neptune was in Aquarius before, it was from 1834 to 1847, we were going through the Alamo War, the Mexican War, they discovered anesthesia. I mean, these... history repeats itself, and you can definitely go back and see what we're supposed to be learning and what's going on.
So that might be actually a good idea to know, you know, that saying to know where you're going, know where you've been.
You need to know your ancestors too, because
right.
That all shows in the chart. People think, oh, I don't need to know what those old dead people did. Well, my God, they are who you are. They have made you who you are today. And the
That's
DNA
right.
has come down, and it's a good thing to know.
Yeah, and we know that shamanically, you know, it's a reverence for those that have come before us, whether on our genealogical lineage or our spiritual lineage, whatever we take on that. But you know, even those of a society that have come before us. So with this freeing up, this Uranus and Aries, and you said that the last time was in there in the revolution. What things will we be looking to? I want to know two things. What things will we be looking, do we need to be looking for? And what should we be doing personally, perhaps in our life, to, in a beneficial way, tap into this energy?
If you can at least find out your chart and wherever it is and understand what house it's in, you're going to know what arena that you're going to need to be working with this Uranus in Aries energy. And when you understand that, you will have awakenings in that area of your life and in those arenas, and you will be, you know, developing. And Aries teaches us courage, and it's the ability of the will to triumph over intimidation, obstacles, or doubt. So wherever this is happening in your chart, this is what's going to be happening. And it takes and needs selfishness to accomplish this and the ability to say, this is my life, and get out of the way because I'm going to live it. So getting back to the doctor that needs to be, you know, have some musician energy somewhere, that's what he's going to have to say at some point to somebody, because he's going to be, people aren't going to want him to do that. Are you out of your mind?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So in order to be able to make these changes, this Aries energy now in this new light form is coming in with this electrical energy, and it's the power of the will to shape a life. It's the heart of a warrior. It's courage has to be scared into a person, and it's a magnet for stress.
Mm-hmm.
And how it can be handled, it can't be predetermined. And crisis follows Aries like a shadow. So you have to live in the presence of fear, but you have to act clearly and decisive anyway. And you have to make sure the warrior is not fighting the wrong war.
Mm. And all wars kind of stems from within, right?
Yes. And so that's what's so beautiful about understanding all this energy.
So, Gail, so part of it's going to be individual to each person, because it's where the Aries is in their chart. And now what do you say collectively? So that's on the individual level.
So if you look, if you looked at the Los Angeles chart or any city that you looked at or you live in or you want to know about and see where Aries is in that chart, I mean, Uranus and Aries is in that chart, you're going to see what that as a city is going, and you can do that for countries. They all have their charts. It's so interesting that you realize as a collective of that whole country is now awakening in this area of their, their being.
Mm-hmm.
Their living entity as a country is now experiencing this in this particular arena by according to what house it falls into.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I'm hearing you saying is this is really about freeing up. You use the example of the person, right, that became the doctor but really wanted to be a musician. So is it going to be almost like a compulsion or a pushing or a nudging for people to be more of themselves?
It's going to get ugly.
Mm.
It doesn't have to get ugly if you're working with the energies and you understand them, but for the people that don't understand them and are resistant to it, really, the whole thing is that people don't understand that they really, every person came here in this world with a plan, a life's plan. And we are supposed to be sticking to or at least adhering to or trying to do this life's plan. And when you're not, things come along to try and wake you up back to it.
So in a way, that's the great wake-up in a way, is to get people, instead of living somebody else's life, is what did you come here to do? What are you meant to do? So it's really this reframing or bringing people back to their true nature then.
Yes, absolutely. And so the beauty of it is Uranus comes along and really, you know, it took everybody that was the collective and now made them realize that we are part of a whole, but we still have to be the individual and we can't lose ourselves in the whole. And now it's going to come along, and it goes into Aries, and it's going to see where we have to bring new ways of being. The old ways weren't working, so now it's going to have to, like the spring energy, you know, Aries rules spring, and it busts the plants out of the ground. That takes a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Pisces is all about, you know, the winter, and you just dormant, and you're just mellowing all, musing all together, and you're just all about a big ball, a circle of, you know, people. But now with Aries, it's like you're back to the individual and you're kicking some butt because you got to get these plants growing through that old cold earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you understand the archetypes and the energies that are going on, it's really easy to understand what's being asked of us. And when you work with them, it helps. Now, getting back to the doctor and the musician and what you were saying earlier as well, you know, it's not easy to go from the old into the new, and you have to go through a transition and a change period, and it's very scary, and you have to go, and there's a whole process that goes between the two, and you have to give it time. You can't just jump from one into the other. There's a process that needs to happen and a support system and everything else.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very good, very, very good point. The process, get the help, get the support at this time. Speaking of this, Gail, we're winding out of time here on this level, this dimension.
Alrighty.
It's been great to have you on the program. And to give you also your website is divinemystic.com. So anyone that wants to connect further with Gail and explore this, I really recommend getting your chart done, an individual chart, and diving into these archetypal waters, I think is very clarifying, very clarifying.
It is, and I just want people to know there's a lot of time that goes into doing charts, and it's just a wonderful way to connect with the energy of your being.
Well put. Well, thank you for connecting with us, Gail, and thank all of you for connecting with us and sharing your insight. Had some great insight as well in the chat room, back and forth, some wonderful information, insight, and sharing of awareness. Again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, the email is awakenings@selfandlight.com. Let us know how and where you listen to Awakenings, and as always, love your feedback. So until next time, continue to share your insight, shine your light, and keep awake. Going to end a little bit with a little Golden Sun by Thunderbeat.